time after time, night after night, she would look up at me and say she was lonely.
I think it was sometime in the late 90s. I'm in Detroit and I am with a friend and one of my brothers, and it's all dark and we're just waiting and waiting for Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers to come onto stage. You know that anticipation when the lights go off? The opening band has already played. My memory is they were pretty terrible. But who's to say? So it's dark. You only see the lights of the Palace of Auburn Hills here in Detroit, just twinkling. Everybody's waiting. And then all at once, the lights on the stage went up, and Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers bust into Jammin' Me. Now, I had heard that song, I don't know, a couple of times, handful of times on the radio, and I never really liked it. I never thought about it. But I am still the biggest fan of that song because of that moment. I mean, when those lights came on, it was almost like that Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers organism was existing in some other world, and they just shifted to ours at that moment. Like, it was, they were like in mid-sentence, like almost like we were in darkness, but somebody announces, like, and now your regularly scheduled Tom Petty program will be joined in progress. And just boom, all of a sudden, from nothing to a million in a split second. I'm not sure what a split second is. How do you measure a split second? Is it like a quarter of a second? Is it like a shaving, a little slice of a second? But I was blown away. And that whole concert was fantastic. It was probably easily I'd say it's one of my two favorite concerts ever. Now, I was always high at these concerts, as you do, so it's hard to remember exactly who was the best. But if I had to pick the best, I'd say right now it's a tie between Tom Petty and Pearl Jam. But everybody in Pearl Jam is still alive, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk on this episode about Tom Petty, because obviously Tom Petty is gone. At least his meat body is gone. I don't know what that means for his consciousness or the light that was Tom Petty, or that still is Tom Petty. If it's just existing in another universe, I think that's likely to be happening. It was one of the greatest moments, and I never saw him again, and I wish that I had. It's one of those things where you think that you've got time, and you don't. Tomorrow never comes. I wanted to see Nirvana. I wanted to see Tom Petty again. There's lots of bands I never got to see, and I passed. And it wasn't like I was living in a different period. There are bands that just came along and I just was too involved in the Troy-ness of my universe to think that anything drastic could change. That's really what we're talking about, isn't it? It's the change. One minute you have David Bowie in the universe, the next minute he's gone. Then you have Tom Petty hanging around, and then you don't. This, for me, is sadder than David Bowie. I love David Bowie. He was like such an interesting, he seemed like such an interesting person, an artist in the true sense. Tom Petty was an artist, obviously, but he seemed like someone that, even though he probably had quite the ego, and who wouldn't if you're Tom Petty, he seems like someone that's still a little bit of salt of the earth, you know? If you listen to his songs, it doesn't sound like he was having the best run when it comes to relationships or things like that. I mean, I know he was married for a long time, and when that ended, I guess if you watch that documentary on Netflix, I guess that shook him up pretty bad. That's why the album Echoes is a little bit dark. That's a great album, by the way. Wildflowers, Echoes, I think those are probably two of my favorites. Obviously, Damn the Torpedoes and some of the early ones are great. But you got to really dig deep. Just like any other great artist who has all these layers to get a sense of what they're really about. Don't you love it when you hear a song that's like a forgotten song or a song that you don't know that well or that nobody does, like kind of like Jam and Me, and then you hear them play it in concert, like She's a Woman in Love, and you're like, holy fuck, this song is amazing. What's wrong with me? Why didn't I hear this before? Some things don't translate well onto CD. It's one of the problems, to bring up Pearl Jam, the other tied for second in best concert I've ever seen. Also equally blown out in that concert. I don't know, maybe there's a correlation there. Maybe I should focus on that aspect more than everything would be the best thing I've ever seen. But Pearl Jam, as great as they were, and I can listen to some of their albums, but for some reason, it doesn't translate as well. I found there was like a huge difference between the live performance and the CDs. I mean, I paid $15 to go to Pearl Jam, I think. It was really low, because remember, they were at the time, sorry, I'm walking by some construction under the Cass Bridge here, or whatever this bridge is called on Cass. You're listening to 88.1, the sounds of Construction Detroit. Do you like jackhammers? How about disgruntled workers hammering a bridge? 88.1, the sounds of Detroit building itself back up again. Yeah, as I was saying, I don't even remember, but It, for some reason, I was having trouble connecting with Pearl Jam on CD, and then I thought, well, whatever, can't beat that. They were against Ticketmaster, which you got to respect that. And you got to respect the idea that you can, you know, say to people, look, I don't want people to have to pay $100 to see Tom Petty. I think I paid like around there. I don't remember. It was definitely over $75. Which is back in the 90s, so those, at the rate of inflation, that's like $450 today, isn't it? I think I paid the same for U2. That one might have been $120, I don't remember. But I didn't know much. I knew, obviously, who Pearl Jam was, and this was the Yield Tour. I want to say that was maybe 96, 97, something like that. And I was blown the fuck away. And then I would go back and listen to the albums, and yeah, I could get that momentum. Sometimes it translates, but I think they're a great band. But if you had to pick, if it's live or CD for Pearl Jam, I would pick live, even though I saw them once, maybe. But every time you see them, like, doing a live performance online, like in, at Jules Holland, they do a great Worldwide Suicide on Late Night with Jules Holland, that great British show where they have like four or five stages and they have four or five great bands come in and play in an evening. What a great show. What a concept for a show. Why doesn't that happen here? Why doesn't that happen on like any channel, let alone, or on the networks, let alone any channel. I'm not sure how to use that phrase. That sounds great. I mean, who wouldn't listen to that? But there's no time for that anymore. You know, if they did that, it would feel like there would be tickers everywhere and be like, to buy Pearl Jam's new album, log on to, follow us on Twitter. Like scrolling down as somebody's singing like lyrics that they pulled from the depths of their soul while selling, you know, ads. This verse is brought to you by McDonald's. Have it your way. It doesn't matter if I'm mixing them up. It doesn't matter. I wonder where Tom Petty is now. You think he's really gone? And as I was saying before, like, David Bowie is clearly an artist. But so is Tom Petty. I feel more of a connection to Tom Petty because you go through periods in your life where you change, right? You might, structurally, we might all be the same because we form these things when we're young. You know, shyness, loudness, whatever it is. But we go through these different periods. It's happened to me, at least. I know that I might structurally still be part asshole, part whatever else. But I've gone through a lot of periods of change, like big changes. But there are always constants, just like in the movie Inception. You go to those different levels of thought or consciousness or dream states, and you have that one thing, like Leonardo DiCaprio had, like, was it a watch or a spinning top? It was a dreidel or something. Was it a dreidel? That's a weird thing to put in there. And he would spin it. Is that right? At Arthouse 43, let me know if that's right. But Tom Petty, my point is this. Tom Petty was one of those constants for me. Pink Floyd has been a constant too, but Pink Floyd is almost... Pink Floyd and the Beatles are like almost too shiny in some ways now. I love lots of things about them and I still listen to them. But there's something gritty about Tom Petty. And you could put Bruce Springsteen in the same category. Where they're not manic, but they have highs and lows in the same album. Or you can hear realness in what they're doing. And that's something that is really sad to lose. I'm sure that realness still exists in other artists, but it's hard to find, I think. It's sort of like friends or relationships, you know. I think you probably don't get that many opportunities to connect with good people. I'm not saying that there aren't that many good people out there. I'm just saying you probably get a certain number of opportunities to establish really unique relationships or relationships that have been through a lot of things. And you can survive. And like, I think we probably have too much of a throwaway mentality. And I wonder if we look back and go, you know what, that was a good relationship. I don't know why I didn't pay attention to that. Have you ever seen Scrooged with Bill Murray? The bitch hit me with a toaster. Sorry, got to throw in those lines. One of the ghosts, Buster Poindexter, played by Buster Poindexter, takes him back to see the ghost of Christmas past, and he watches himself walk away from Claire at one point, and he starts yelling at himself back in time, like, you idiot, what are you doing? There'd probably be a lot of that in everybody's life. Like, this is something meaningful. Why are you doing this other thing? This other thing doesn't matter. You think it matters, but it doesn't. You think it at the time, but later you'll grow to appreciate it. I'm not sure what this has to do with Tom Petty. I think it just has something to do with the fact that sometimes maybe we don't appreciate artists while they're here. I don't know. or we take them for granted, or we think that they're always going to be around. Maybe they are. I don't know where these thoughts come in when you think about death and what happens to the consciousness inside of us. I mean, obviously nobody knows, but people have experienced it, the transformation, the movement from one state to another, right? It's like the great mystery. It's not like I'm saying anything interesting or unique here, but it's like the great mystery. You think that, like Paul McCartney and John Lennon had this pact of, if one of us dies first, then try to contact us in the next life. That was more of a, Hull accent, I don't know. But everybody goes into that darkness and there's nothing but silence, except for maybe energy that's left behind in the form of, not ghosts, but some sort of being or like an imprint that stays behind and can sort of mess with things in this world because it's trapped or whatever. But I mean, like, that seems like a copy, a clone, or just a remnants of something that was, rather than where the entire being is or goes. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, over. 2017, October. I think that, I don't know anything about Tom Petty and his relationship to Halloween or October, but I would think that, like any logical person who is an artist, they would want us to enjoy Halloween in the month of October, and All Hallows Month. But not a good start in some ways. If you're sad about Tom Petty, I would suggest you don't listen to the song Wildflowers. To go back to Buster Poindexter in Scrooged, Niagara Falls, Frankie. Niagara Falls.